Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here on Wrestle Radio Returns from the Ashes. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jake Ryan, your host tonight. It's been quite a little bit of time that I've last been on here due to some personal reasons, plus I've been sick the last few days, so that's just been kind of rolling around. But my co-host this week is a man that I on before SummerSlam, and his name is Mr. B-Train from KCXW. Hello there, sir. Welcome to the show this week.
How's it going, Jake?
Not too shabby, just kind of feeling the life. It's life this week.
Yeah.
Just
good
come
to know.
Back. Good to come back. Okay. Since I've been on a short hiatus from the show due to life, plus me being sick, there's a lot of wrestling to get to, as in we had Backlash last Sunday, we had Monday Night Raw 2 nights ago, and we had SmackDown tonight, so we're going to get through all three of those and see what's best.
Okay.
Sound about right?
Yep.
Let's start out with Backlash, because since it was the first show of the week, Backlash being set with your main event being AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose for the World Championship. You also have the tag team straps, the new tag team straps, plus also the Women's Championship. You had that. You had so many different aspects, but start off with the six-pack challenge for the Women's Championship, which I think the winner of the match actually deserved it more than any other female that was in that match, which was Becky Lynch, of course. But I think it was her time. Her time came. But I think the Carmella-Nikki feud's far from over.
Yep. I personally think that women's match stole the show. I do believe that Dean and AJ had a decent match. The tag team match, I was definitely hoping that Heath and Rhino would win the tag team gold. I was happy that came true. So, but first and foremost, the women's match stole my attention because of the sudden elimination of Nikki. I was not expecting that. I was expecting Nikki to be in the final three at least, and I was expecting her and Becky to duke it out. So I mean, I was severely impressed, that someone eliminated Nikki Bella, to be exact, and I was like, wow, You know, I'm impressed.
But what was interesting that Carmella got to the final two.
It is interesting that Carmella did make it. I mean, she's here to make a statement that say that a lot of people say she couldn't make, you know, any roster at all. Well, you know what? Here you go. I think that she proved her point. She eliminated a big name at a pay-per-view. It wasn't a big pay-per-view, but still, she made her presence felt. So, got to say, man, she's a certified G in that instance, you know.
Yeah, and let's move on to the tag team titles. But first, this match had to happen. The Hype Bros had to go against the Usos. What do you think of the new Usos look?
I'm actually, you know what, I don't mind the Usos because, like I said, I'm a performer. I don't look at whether they're a bad guy, good guy kind of thing. I look at if they can get the crowd going. So, to me, I don't mind this new Usos mantra of the, you know, it took you guys a while, you never were for me attitude, whatever. I'm all for it. I'm actually, you know what, some may say, oh, it's overdue, they needed this change. You know what? To those who don't know from a perspective of on the scene, here's what I say. I think that the Usos are performers. I think they do their job because obviously they get over with the kids. Whether or not they're good or bad, I'm pretty much all for what they're doing right now. Because obviously they're still getting attention, good or bad. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
And we head to the tag team title match, as it was Rhino, Heath Slater versus the Usos for the tag team titles, which I'll have to admit.
Yeah.
So I get my glorious Texas. I'm feeling all glorious. That's not a good sign. But with Heath Slater and Rhino getting the gold after a very good match, and I kind of saw this coming because Heath Slater had to win. But also on top of that, it was a great win thanks to Rhino. And I expect a decent tag team title run between the two. And then we get to the Intercontinental title match. Now this match, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, I think this match was a classic until we got to the crappy shit. Until
we
got to the heel finish or the crappy finish.
You see, okay, my thing is this with that match. I think that they both put on a decent performance. I firmly believe that, you know, you got to give The Miz credit where credit is due. The man is performing as an Intercontinental Champion should. And as far as Dolph goes, you know, he can put on hell of a match after hell of a match after hell of a match. Thing is, though, you know, I wonder at what point who else are they going to add into this fray of feud, because Apollo Crews has given The Miz a run for his money. So Dolph Ziggler's given The Miz a run for his money. Yes, the heel finish happened. But again, like I said, you have to give The Miz credit. He is giving his character more credibility by acting as a heel should, you know, like having to get cheap heat with Maryse, you know, with what she did to interfere in the match to help her man win. You know, a lot of people, some people compare her to Sherry, but I don't see that. I honestly think, you know, that match to me could have stood out a little bit more. Because Ziggler, you know, they're putting stuff on reserve. Who knows? Maybe they're wanting to tease us with an awesome match, you know, with a dirty finish. But, you know, it's up to them as performers to tell us a story, and they did just that. So, whatever the outcome, I'm definitely satisfied with what happened.
Same as well. And then we had to the WWE World Heavyweight title match as we get to AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. AJ Styles, which everybody's saying this, in the words of everybody else, you can't really prepare for Dean Ambrose, but AJ is just simply phenomenal as he gets the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which I don't think that this solidifies his career as a performer, because he's pretty much won every championship, not every championship, but every world title in every company he's been in.
You know, he's just, like you said, he's phenomenal. He's won every championship that he's ever, every company that he's been in. And, which brings to mind, you know, what happened tonight on SmackDown of Backlash. You know, we're not to that discussion point yet, but, you know, a lot of people are saying how in the world do you prepare yourself for an AJ Styles, or how do you prepare yourself for a Dean Ambrose? That's the question. You know, everyone wants to know, how do you prepare? How do you prepare? You just don't, man. If you're a worker or whomever, you just go in that ring and give the fans a show. And I think both did that quite well at Backlash, because you look at every single near fall that Ambrose had on Styles. And Ambrose was, of course, you know, the wild man from all hell. So it was interesting to see him and Styles go at it, you know, and Styles, you know, of course, gets the world title off a low blow. That adds more fuel to the fire, more intrigue, more interest. So, again, doesn't matter to me if you have a dirty finish in a match. What stands out to me is if you told a story. What story are you trying to tell, as Brutal Bob says? You can't guess what the workers are going to do, but we as fans like or enjoy to watch an awesome match, and that's what we got. It was pretty damn awesome, dude, to see those two go at it at Backlash and just have a damn good wrestling match, you know? Plain and simple.
Yes, sir. Then, Evan, let's move kind of into sort of like a little transition into Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
I say this Raw this week was actually a lot better than it's been, but also I think it could have also been a little better too. But let's kick off our opening contest, being Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Dana Brooke for a triple threat match to decide who gets Charlotte at Clash of Champions coming up in 2 weeks. There's a lot of controversy heading into it, because the fact that the finish, both Sasha and Bayley's shoulders were both down. So I don't, it's very controversial. So I mean, in my standpoint, I'd rather win a triple threat match, is what I'd want.
I would think General Manager Foley might have something up his sleeve. Again, that's what leaves us guessing, all as fans, man. I mean, you look at that match, you say, wait a minute, weren't both your shoulders down? Shouldn't both women be in the match with Charlotte? I mean, who knows? Maybe a triple threat made at Clash of Champions in 2 weeks in Indianapolis. Maybe Stephanie or Mick may make that decision. Who knows? But I definitely see your stance on it, because it looks to me like, as looking at there have been several pictures on Twitter and on Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Social media is buzzing about it. General Manager Foley's got his hands full when it comes to making a decision. Not just him, but Stephanie too. If you look at match, it's pretty much down. I was surprised by Dana Brooke. And those two can put on one hell of a match. So maybe those two will face each other in the week before Monday Night Raw. We don't know. I mean, I don't think Charlotte minds either of them, because she said, while she was at the announce table, she has no fear. So we'll see about that. I mean, it will be very interesting to see what the decision is next Monday on Raw.
Yeah, I completely agree. Then as we head from there, as we transition there, you go Bo Dallas, which is basically a squash match for Bo Dallas, even though I have no idea why even Bo Dallas is even getting more time. But
I mean, it is what it is. You've got to – the way I see it is, dude, is it maybe they're amping him up to face, like, a you know, somebody that'll be a big name. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? But it is kind of a wonderment. That's like when Nia Jax, you know, she's facing all these no-names, and then she faced Alicia Fox. So, again – they don't know what direction they're going. I'm just watching, and it's kind of entertaining, to tell you the truth. Kind of both annoying and entertaining, I'm not going to lie.
I completely understand that, but I'm not much of a Bo fan, so I'm biased. Now we go to the highlight reel. Very good highlight reel.
Yes, it
with,
was.
With Sami Zayn. And so
Sami Zayn and YTJ, yeah.
Even though Sami pretty much told the entire truth the whole time. Just being...
yeah.
Just me being a fan, I know that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is their feud will never end. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Go
ahead.
But Jericho did attack Zayn at the end of the highlight reel. Does this mean we get Zayn and Jericho at Night of Champions or at Clash of Champions?
You know, I think that this is my thing. Sami Zayn is a very unpredictable character, guy, I should say. I would say most definitely the best thing that he ever did was, you know, just be himself on the highlight reel, and he really didn't have to do much for that. So, I mean, props to Sami. He most definitely captivated me, and I was kind of oohing and awing during the segment because, you know, you think, oh, Sami Zayn, great. He's just a professional wrestler who, you know, doesn't really, is not really known for his quirks on the mic. And this time around, dude, you know, he actually impressed me with what went on during Monday Night Raw. I was actually intrigued this time by Sami. To be honest with you, at first I thought, Sami Zayn, you know, great guy, great competitor, not well known for his mic skills. Okay, I guess I'll watch this with Jericho because Jericho's on here and he'll make it funny. Zayn actually, you know, threw some heaters in there, man, and it was just like, wow, what do you say to that? I mean, he actually made interest or intrigue on Monday Night Raw. Congratulations, Sami. I mean, not well known for your quirks on the mic, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but he's better known for having good matches with Kevin Steen and drawing stuff out. And like you said, he was on point. He did a good segment. I'm, you know, happy as a fan to watch him keep evolving and keep doing awesome things. And you got to give him credit, man. They brought the Kevin Owens Jericho feud to WWE, and it hasn't been modified, it hasn't been changed, it's just been awesome match after awesome match, and I think at Clash of Champions, I don't see him going away with the Universal title, but it'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then we move from the highlight reel to the fifth match of the Best of Seven series, between Sheamus and Cesaro. At first, like during like the first three matches, Sheamus was ahead after the first three matches. But now Cesaro's making a comeback. So,
oh. Well, if the Cavaliers could have, you know, could do it earlier this year, I definitely see Cesaro making a comeback and a huge victory against Sheamus in the best of seven.
I agree, because I think, but there's also been rumblings in different places, but then we get to Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox, which you hinted on this a little bit earlier about this, and this is the first time I've ever seen a female go through a barricade in a long time.
Okay, so Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox. Okay, let me just explain this as best I can. I don't appreciate the ripoff of the Karma character because that's exactly what she's doing, but in a different way.
Yep.
She's not. She doesn't have maniacal laughter in her entrance. She doesn't strike me as a fierce competitor, but she's trying to be this intimidating, big, posing woman figure. Okay, let's call blending Bertha Faye and Karma's character together. And I'm sorry, WWE, but that, to me, it pisses me off because I don't dictate what certain people do. And I, you know, applaud her for being a competitor, but I'm sorry, I cannot be positive in this instance. Simply because her character, to me, reminds me so much of three people. I remember when Luna Vachon used to intimidate people and beat up nobodies. I remember when Karma would, you know, intimidate all the other divas before she had, you know, before she ran. And she, you know, I hate this. I freaking hate it. I'm sorry. But, like, when she beats up on people like Alicia Fox or, you know, why not? And know that Asuka cannot be called up just yet, but Jizalu, man, if she couldn't handle Asuka, what in the hell is she doing on Main? Just saying. Like,
and
this is the only...
It's not crazy, you know, Bayley on a big stage.
Exactly. Well, Bayley, the reason I think she's on there is because in my personal opinion, Bayley is not only the extreme baby face, but she can actually work a match. And to me, by being able to work a match, that means not just doing the I'm going to be the baby face and slap hands and smile with the babies and all that. What she's going to do for a lot of fans is give fans inspiration, give hope. What does Nia do? She's intimidating.
She's the one
heel.
That will stop that.
She's the one that will stop that and all that. But, like, I think what they're – I don't know what they're trying to do. Like I said, I'm only a fan who watches this from afar. I don't predict, like, oh, this is what they're going to do. I think they're going to feed so-and-so and so-and-so. But, like, again, Nia Jax's character just pisses me off because, to me, it's such a ripoff of other characters that I have seen as a fan come through there as a female competitor. China did it. Let's see, Ivory at one point was beating up extras. I have a lot of respect for these people. It's just Nia's character is kind of a throwback for
it's
me
kind of
in a bad way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But let's move on. We'll transition from that to the New Day versus the Club. I guess this is going to be just a continued feud between the two because I know I believe they're going to be a tag team title rematch at Clash of Champions as it will be the New Day defending against the Club. But
as we
saw last week in that stupid shindig last week, which you and I were there last week.
Yes, we were. And here's my thing, dude. It's not so much the segment that was bad. It was the fact that nobody in the crowd reacted at all. There was nothing. That crowd was the biggest pops of that night came from Enzo and Cass. And when the rest of the night is filled with, you know, you could hear crickets, and I know this is a non-PG show, so you could hear crickets fucking over that segment, okay? I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, the Old Day segment was ridiculously horrible. Like, if I wanted to, like, ram my knee into metal bars, like, 1,500 times, yeah, I would rather do that, because why? The Old Day and New Day, both ideas. Come on, man. New Day needs to break up and become single competitors. That's just my humble opinion on the whole thing.
I completely agree.
Like, to me, because New Day was great when they started out, but by accident, because of direction that they were going from a creative standpoint, they became a fan favorite. Now, it's going so stale to the point where it's like, you know, I'm not saying by any means that that segment was terrible. It just wasn't all there. Like, they had the right idea. They just didn't. There was no oomph. Like, okay, let's say if I was in control of creative writing, which I'm not, I would say the best thing to do would have been on cue, have the Old Day come out and just have them walk with all canes to the ring, have a New Day, before the dude even picks up the microphone, come out and start just wailing on him. That would have made more sense. The crowd would have been into it. Instead of wait for, you know, them to turn around and then one of them hits the other. It's a whole fucking delayed process, dude. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Like, why did it take so long for a point to be made that, you know, Carlton Anderson, Gallows and Anderson, they're going to beat the New Day at Clash of Champions? I'm making a bold prediction because, let's see, Styles won the championship at Backlash, so I'm going to predict that New Day continues their losing streak into Clash of Champions, and if they do retain, I'm going to scream bloody murder because you cannot keep those guys together. From my opinion, they need to break up. Xavier Woods is a so-so competitor as an individual. You've got Big E, who is much better than what they're giving him, and then you have Kofi Kingston. We've all seen what he can do as a solo worker. So, to me, it's ridiculous.
He's the king of the Royal Rumble and the ladder matches.
Yep. Yeah, I was there in 2012, dude, when he did the little walk on his hands thing. I mean, come on. That's unreal talent.
I was there, too. Come on.
It's like, so you can't, like, for me, dude, like, let's just say that, back to the segment discussion. I was watching. I wanted to go eat popcorn or whatever, but I just was like, oh, no, whatever. I'm just going to watch it, you know. Let's, from personal point to keep kayfabe, so the people who work, good job. I'm not mad. What I'm mad about is the segment, as I said, could have run better and would have flourished better if things would have quicker timing. Like, it took emphasis away from Gallows and Anderson and, you know, their New Day. And why did they have to add, you know, oh, let's see, you know, we put them in retirement. That kind of, that part. Okay. But at the same time, you'd hear crickets fucking based on the audience's reaction because they didn't know whether to boo, cheer. There was time again. I said was too much on Monday night because the only things that seemed to happen tonight were Sasha Banks, and then you see, you know, in the past they lost it against the stinking Primo, Epico, whatever. Again, you got to learn how to gauge your crowd. You got to learn make them cheer for you, boo you, want to boo you out of the building, hate you, love you. That's why it's the universe. Because we can be very critical, we can be super marketish, we can be whatever. We're the fans. We earn to talk about talent. Okay? So, again, that segment right kind of it irked me. Like, I knew going for kind of, sort of, but I don't know about you, Jay. It didn't speak volumes for me as a segment.
Me either. But let's move on from which the club did get the victory on Monday night. Then we move to Jinder Mahal versus Jack Swagger.
What?
But I just got word also that Swagger is a SmackDown Live competitor now.
Oh, joy.
So I guess this is the last time he was on Raw.
Which test did he fail now? Because it's only one of two things. You either fail a test, fail to show up to an appearance, or you are just not doing it with the crowd. So, this is the umpteenth chance they've given Swagger. Like, he's been on programming. I'm sorry. I am going to go off on this because what role without Mantel or without his manager, he really doesn't stand out because, I mean, make him a super patriot dude. Where are you going to put him?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, if all else fails, there's some discipline problems going on with Swagger. Maybe we're reading too much into this, but I think that the one issue I'm having with this is how many times is he going to switch rosters and how many rumor mills are going around about him not behaving. Maybe it's just a trade. Who knows? I mean, WWE likes to switch things around a lot because they can. I feel personally that Jinder Mahal Swagger match again. I mean, I'm glad to see Jinder Mahal back. I'm just not digging the fact that they're pushing him back when they could be really thriving if they made him a main event bad guy, main event heel. Again, this is not my call, but if I had a Jinder Mahal and I had John Cena, you bet your ass I'm going to push for John Cena. Because why? He makes a lot of money, he's patriotic, and a lot of kids love him. And you make Stan do the same thing with Hogan, back then with Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter. It's called marketing. And I don't know why they moved Swagger from roster because Cena's not on Raw. And the only patriotic person I can think of that is on SmackDown aside from Swagger would be Apollo Crews. And I get, I just answered my own question. The Alphas.
Yeah. And then we'll move out from that with Jinder taking the win over Swagger. Now we head to probably the team that deserves a lot. And that's Enzo and Cass. But Enzo goes one-on-one with Epico. We saw, I think it was in Kansas City we had, was it Enzo versus the other one? Versus whatever his name is?
I believe it was a tag team match versus Enzo,
yeah,
Amore.
It was Shining Stars versus Enzo and Cass. It's been 2 weeks.
You know, it's been, I thought it was a decent match. You know, I'm not surprised at the outcome. A lot of people, although, you know, I'm bipartisan, I favor Enzo and I favor Cass because why? They're from my neck of the woods. How you doing? I always, like I said, by the way, the people wearing certified G's in Kansas City, come on. That'd be like me walking around with a shirt that said, I'm a barbecue expert. Barbecue fuckers. I mean, come on. I got issues. How you doing? But the point is, during that match, I seen that, you know, they getting away with cheats. So maybe if they make it a no disqualification match, I wonder, you know, those two are starting to mirror certain traits of a certain someone, not going to mention names here, but Eddie Guerrero used to do that shit when he was a heel, you know, using cheats during matches because, again, like Brutal Bob says, you're telling a story and you are utilizing depending on your character. So if you're a bad guy, you're supposed to do heel-like stuff, so... You know, the cheats that Primo and Epico, like the pulling of the leg and the suplex on the current Monday Night Raw. It's to get the fans riled up. Well, they did their job. The previous week in Kansas City, Again, the rolling, the pulling of the tights. Again, they did their job. They got the fans to talk about them, which, you know, I don't know if this is going to go on if Primo and Epico are serious players. They got two big victories over people who were selling a lot of merch, being Enzo and Cass. I do want to say, though, it's not resonating with fans. I mean, you can't give us what we want all the time. But them getting a victory every time, I mean, I don't know what they're building it for. Maybe they're building a feud. Maybe they're going to lose at Clash of Champions. Because if you ask me, Jake, I believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to skip ahead. Enzo and Cass, if you call them up, they should also be getting a shot at being the tag team champions. I mean,
exactly.
If it's a number, if there's a number one contendership for said tag team titles for Monday Night Raw, it would make sense to crown them at Clash of Champions. This is just from my perspective. Why? It's not because I'm favorite, you know, playing favorites here, but Primo and Epico are not exactly. Yeah, dude, from where they worked in NXT, dude, they caught on like wildfire. Okay, when they got called up to Raw, I was ecstatic. I'm not gonna lie. I started tuning in to Monday Night Raw just for Zoe and Cass. And also because, you know, they are one hell of a mic. Enzo knows how to work a microphone, so does Cass. I mean, how much better can you – you've got the whole package. They can wrestle. They can talk on the mic. They could work heel if you want them to. And a lot of people – I don't like this. They say if they split Enzo and Cass – then Zoe is going to be a huge jobber. You don't know this, but before he was Enzo, I mean, the dude could work. I mean, a lot of people forget before Enzo and Cass were a pair, Enzo could actually work by himself without the big man. I mean, you see him get beat up a lot in matches. But point being, I'm getting off track here. Point being, Enzo and Cass deserve at least to be in the tag team title picture.
I agree. Now, in which Epico took the victory from Enzo after Primo trips up Enzo, which I do agree with you 100% because Enzo and Cass, I think, need a tag team title run since they never got it in NXT when I think they should have.
I agree. Yeah.
But if they don't get to the next, then we move to our main event. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens. If Roman Reigns wins, he gets added to the match for the world title at, well, the universal title at Clash Champions. And I kind of saw this a mile away because I don't think Roman Reigns needs to be in the Universal title picture anymore since he's not as popular as he used to be anymore. And I don't see why that the continuing feuding with the Universal title whenever Rusev and Roman have unfinished business, I guess.
Now, you notice whenever... I say this nicely. Whenever, when Roman Reigns comes out, listen to the crowd. They boo his ass out of the building. There's very few people that cheer for Roman Reigns sincerely. Like, I don't know. Why you would even put him in a title picture. That's just my personal take on it. Like, if I had a choice, I would force him to be like something like a figurehead, like a special guest referee.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, to me, Jake, if you, okay, when he did the stupid dead arm powerbomb thing that he did to Kevin Owens, like he actually got him up and lifted him dead weight powerbomb, whatever. Again, that sets a trigger with me because then back to it goes back to WrestleMania 32 with his match with Triple H. Even okay, if the higher up tells his father-in-law that you should put our match second to last and let Taker and Shane be the main event, that's saying he has a lack of faith in Roman, if you ask me. It's saying that he doesn't mind Roman as a talent. It's just saying, well, you know, we've given you time. We've given you 2 years, and you still haven't fucking succeeded. So it is highly irritating to see him in the main event after main event after main event on Monday Night Raw when there's other guys sitting in the backstage area that could fill his shoes. I'm not talking about entitlement. I'm talking about guys that deserve, you know, an actual main event spot. Just give them a chance. But, you know, I think from backstage politics, no. From a fan's perspective, it's just irritating because he does not pull a crowd. He irritates the crowd. There's a difference between pulling a crowd and irritating one. Roman, he somehow finds a way to irritate.
I think we might have lost Brian on the shuffle. Well, we'll continue. We'll run we'll go into SmackDown now. We got roughly 17 minutes to go in the show. We're going to try getting Brian back momentarily, get him back in here. Yeah, we're going to run into SmackDown that happened tonight. SmackDown tonight. Brian, you back with us?
Yes, I think it's my phone that's being a douche.
Brian, are you back with us?
Yes. Hello?
All right.
Can you hear me?
Hang on one quick second. Yeah, you guys probably can't hear me at the moment, so hang on.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, I'm still here. Okay, we got the configuration back. Everything's back to normal.
All right. So.
Yeah. This is the second time Blog Talk has done this to me now.
Yeah, well, you know.
Blog Talk. Blog Talk, I'm playing with you, so hopefully you're.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, we're going to go ahead and move into Monday Night Raw. Probably not Raw. We're going to move to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
My mind's going to blow. It's not a good sign. As we move into SmackDown here tonight, they announced tonight there's a fatal five-way to decide who will be the person who gets the first crack at the women's title. But first, we get a rematch from Backlash, as it was the Hype Bros versus the Usos, with the Usos getting the victory over the Hype Bros in a very short match. We're going to get... Oh. It was a very, very, very short match. It was like 5 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. And then we get to the Fatal 5-Way for the person who gets the first shot at Becky Lynch for the title. Nikki Bella, Carmella, Natalya, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, with Alexa Bliss gaining the victory over Carmella.
Oh.
At the end.
Oh, wow. Alexa, they let Alexa win? Oh,
they let
my.
Alexa win.
You know, this is interesting because I actually, a lot of people may be shocked about this, but to me, she's kind of Carmella's counterpart. If you actually think about it, if you pair those two together, they're kind of the new generation Bella twins. They're not twins.
Yes.
I get it. But if you think about it, Carmella, she gets surprise victories. Alexa Bliss, I like her crazy mantra, you know, crazy attitude of I'm going to beat everyone, and Alexa Bliss is going for the SmackDown Live title. But I hope to God she knows just what she's getting herself into. Why? Because Becky worked extremely hard for this. Alexa, to me, is kind of like, well, how do I put this? A certain somebody that I know of who gets everything handed to him. From a perspective like this, I think it's a good feud in the future. I see Alexa Bliss giving Becky Lynch a lot more than she can handle at the next SmackDown Live pay-per-view. However, I will say this about the Usos versus the Hype Brothers. I mean, the Hype Brothers, I like Zack Ryder, not such a big Mojo Rawley dude. But I will say
I do want to say one thing. If I don't like the Hype Brothers at all, but since Curt Hawkins is coming back, I really want to see a Ryder Hawkins reunion.
That would be nice.
Because those two were actually decent tag team champions, and they were also a very good tag team.
And also, you know, I think that a lot of fans forget Zack Ryder did win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, you know, the day after he lost it to The Miz, you know, a great competitor. But I gotta say, it's very highly interesting to see the tag team division finally taking off. It's very highly interesting to see SmackDown's at least trying to fill the void for all of us wrestling fans, you know, tag team championships and all this stuff. So, you know, it's very, very, very awesome. You know, even
and
though
then,
a lot of... Okay.
But go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
I was going to say it's very awesome that they're giving the fans what they want. SmackDown, to me, is a kind of, you know, it's kind of a toss-up between both rosters, but if you look at it, SmackDown's the better of the two. It's just my personal opinion from what I've seen.
Yeah. But let's move on to Heath Slater getting his contract, and then they defend their SmackDown Live Tag Team titles tonight against the Ascension. And
what?
I still think the Ascension is still going to waste because they were the most dominant tag team in NXT. And then when they got brought up, they've just never responded. This just sucks. But your tag team champions are still Heath Slater and Rhino.
Well, you know, I'm glad that Heath Slater and Rhino are tag team champions on SmackDown. I'm glad that, you know, certain thing, like you said, they get called up from NXT. They're not as dominant. The Ascension doesn't get the call, so now it's the Alpha. Then injury happens, so they get put on the sidelines, and that prompts the Heath Slater and Rhino forming, which is an odd forming to say the least. But I'm so glad, you know, that they won a tag team championship. Heath Slater is obviously making a huge comeback. Look at him, tag team champion. Who would have thought? Heath Slater, of all people. Being, oh, he's
a three-time tag team champion now.
Yep.
Once with Gabriel, once with Otunga, and once with now Rhino. That's interesting. Well, actually, I think it's a four-time because him and Gabriel won the titles twice, and then Otunga, and then now Rhino. But go from there to the main event. Supposedly earlier in the night, they appoint a partner for AJ. And it's supposed to be like that guy that looked like he peed his pants in front of Braun Strowman. But instead, AJ Styles and The Miz teamed up to take on the team of John Cena and Dean Ambrose. And
I have an interesting year. Whatever. I mean, SmackDown chose that match, simply to showcase or tease the fans. Again, show what Ambrose looks like on his own. Show Cena coming back. I get it. He is the company's love child, and he is a draw, and this, that, and the other. Every time I see a match with John Cena, I don't criticize it. I just watch, because if I sit there long enough, I'll think I want to get some food or drink. But, he's actually making things interesting. He's at least trying stuff and trying to work. Every guy that's worked with him says that he's a good worker. And, really can't criticize the guy unless he worked with him. So, what I do, I just, how do I put this? My brain's trying to rack up saying something nice, say something nice. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm going to say it from a business perspective. I thought the match was very so-so. I didn't think that they don't want to show all their deck. If they're playing a poker game, you want to bluff. So I think the match was a teaser to me. I don't think that it stood out as a, I want to watch this match of the year type of thing. I can't sit here and criticize because that's just going to make, that's going to defeat the purpose of the discussion. I think that AJ Styles and The Miz teaming, I don't know how, they're both at the top of their game right now.
Your winners were John Cena and Dean Ambrose. But at the end of the show, we see Dean Ambrose standing on top, like standing tall. Because Dean had dirty deeds on John Cena.
I think that he's just trying to show, how Ambrose looks solo, what I just said at the beginning, right? So you want to show that Ambrose is still strong and he's coming and gunning for AJ Styles. And Ambrose said it best, we've had our match before, I beat you before. So maybe at Backlash, that was a teaser. Maybe at this SmackDown, that's a glimpse into the future for the Triple Threat match. You never know now. I like the unpredictability of SmackDown. I love what they're giving the fans.
Yeah. But we have 4 minutes and 43 seconds left in the show. But I'm going to say one more thing.
Okay.
Before we leave this whole ordeal. This is not it sort of is wrestling related, but sort of isn't. CM Punk fought his first fight in the UFC this last Saturday. I know he got his ass kicked in literally under a minute and a half. But you know what
I have to say?
That dude. All
right.
I've always been a CM Punk fan. No matter if it was in the Indies, the WWE, but now he's a UFC fighter. He did have the balls to go into the octagon in his first fight. Yeah, he came up on the short end of the stick, but he had the balls to do it. So, CM Punk has earned my respect.
You know what? I give the man props. My personal opinion, I know that if any one of us got in there in the octagon, probably would have gotten our asses handed to us, maybe depending on your knowledge of Ultimate Fighter, MMA. But, I mean, come on. A lot of people are being assholes about him losing. A lot of people say, well, I hope he gets his ass kicked. Oh, he got his ass kicked. You know, the picture with Triple H, a lot of people, I don't care. Because, again, like I said, I'm trying to look at this as at least he tried, at least he gave an effort. Yeah, there's no ribbons for second place winners, but you know something? I got a little something to say for all the haters. Or sing a little something. Look in my eyes, what do you see? I'm the cult of personality. At least he came out to that dude during the show, and I was hyped when he did that.
I was excited for that too. I ordered it the next day on a replay, and I was able to watch it. I was like, yes.
I was just excited, dude, because at least he, you know, gave the fans a glimpse of wrestling fans, like, hey, I'm still here. And I'm here to fight for those who stood behind me. Granted, he wasn't everybody's favorite in the back, but you know something, man? You got to stand up for what you believe in. And a lot of people say, oh, he was selfish. He's selfish. He did it for the money. No, dude. A lot of that is to do with personal discord with a lot of people that he had. I don't know him, but I support him 100%.
I actually have one question for you. I was wondering if you heard about this or not, but this is just me. Ryan Reeves is trying to legally change his name to Ryback.
Ryback, eh?
He's trying to change his name, Ryan Reeves, to Ryback.
I don't get what in the... Okay, first off, he needs to learn how to work. Second of all, I've heard that he's been trying to charge over $4,300 for his name at independent shows. Dude, it's like Brutal Bob says, you're not better than anybody else. You're not entitled. And yeah, I've been quoting you, Brutal. How are you doing? You're the awesome advice giver. Bada boom, coolest advice giver in the room. If you're listening, if you're not, whatever, I'll send you the link. But here it is. If you think that you're entitled for a show, you're really not. You have to work just as hard as the rest of us. And I mentioned his name several times on this podcast. Brutal Bob Evans said it best in his advice column today. Stop worrying about yourself, you know, being above everybody else when you just, you know, you're supposed to be regular. And he's acting as if, you know, he's the top of the, you know, cream of the crop, top of the mountain, best, you know, wrestler there ever was, when in fact the last time I saw him he was on the crapper listening to his beats. And this I can say because I don't care if he makes it back to WWE, he's not intimidating. What he is a very not unsafe worker. He's just not very personable, and that's why I mean, I understand his discord, you know, not getting paid, but at the same time, him trying to change his name, it's whatever. I mean, you decide. He decides what he wants to do with a little bit of money he supposedly made in WWE, feed me more. It just, he just was, to me, like another Goldberg knockoff. And I know he probably hates that comparison, but at least Goldberg made his name.
Yeah, but we're unfortunately out of time, but we'll be back next week. Well, I'll be back next week. Hopefully next Monday. That'll be the next time I'll be on the show. I want to thank Brian for coming on this week, and it will.
Right.
And I'll be back here next week.
All right. Catch you later.
Later.
See ya.
Bye bye.
The cost of hurt.